Okay, so this is our anchor scripture that we should have gone through before you guys discussed, but we'll go through it now. It's fine. So it's Ephesians 6:10-17. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against this, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the devil comes, you may, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So we're going to park it there because that's where we are right now. So I like what she said, that the bulletproof thing. So Micah, you can go back to the other, no, the one before, the one about this one, yes. So I like what you guys said about the bulletproof thing, about how in the olden days, you know, if you put with your spear or anything, it won't actually damage your heart. So you're not exposed, you're covered up and everything like that. So you spoke about righteousness as well, which is, I think it's the important theme here, the righteousness. So what is righteousness? So when I looked it up, I found that, okay, so first I looked in other versions what they translate righteousness as, and they translate it as upright. So you are upright, you're standing right, you're in right standing with God. So you are, your decisions, everything is aligned with how God wants everything to be done. Your life is aligned, your everyday walk is actually aligned with how God wants us to live out our life. But now, please move on. Next one, understand. So now the thing is, then how do we then attain this righteousness? How do we then get from where we are in our natural state, in our flesh, which is a very sinful nature, to a place where we are the righteousness of God? Right, so I'm gonna read Isaiah 6:1-9. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with the two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So, I think in this scripture, Isaiah takes us into a place where we are aware of where we stand, when we come into God's presence, where we are as human beings. So, our nature is naturally a sinful nature. That's who we are. It's from birth, that's just who we are. And then now, how do we move from this place where you go into God's presence and you see that, woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. So Jesus also, you know, God sitting on a throne, he saw this and he was like, okay, how do I then reconcile myself to my people who I love so much and I want to be in relationship? I created this people so they could be a reflection of my glory, but now that's not the case. So how do I then bring them back to being in relationship with me? And you think about it, like in the olden days, there'd be like sacrificial animals and all of those things to atone for sin. But God knew that I need to do something that's gonna be eternal, that's gonna stand the test of time, that in every situation that they are in, it will still save them, it will still be saving. So then, which takes us to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Sorry, no, the previous one. Thank you. So it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we may be the righteousness of God. So the first point there, that there is no one righteous, not even one, from Romans 3:10, clearly states that, you know what, this is who we are. We are not righteous. But then God's response to it is this. It's making him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we may be in right standing with God, so that our lives may be aligned with God. So, I mean, it's like, think about it, it's like you are at home, you have siblings, and your other sibling is like a rebel and all of that, like doing all the off things, like they just offside. And then your parents are like, no, we're going to punish you, the good child, so that he may be good. That's reckless, but that's what God did for us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that you and I may be the righteousness of God. So, but I think I love what you said. You said, I was eavesdropping. You say something about how, you know, we can't attain righteousness on our own, which 2 Corinthians 5:21 clearly states that Jesus had to be the sacrifice so we could be the righteousness of God. So my first point is that we need to trust God for this righteousness, that it's something that we cannot do on our own, that it needs to completely come from God, right? So it is only through faith in Christ and nothing that we can do. Like, we cannot do anything in our nature. It's God doing that ultimate sacrifice that allows us to be righteous. And secondly, putting on this armor also is us acknowledging our inability to actually make ourselves righteous. It's actually sitting down and being like, we are actually unable to actually do this, to make ourselves righteous, if it's not for God. Guys, the slides, they are, yeah. Okay, next one, Michael. I'm so sorry for the confusion. And then how do we then use the breastplate of righteousness? Next slide. So then, when I sat down and I thought about this and I was like, okay, how do I like every day do this, God? How do I every day make the decision to be righteous? And I felt God saying that you speak your word over me, over yourself. You speak my word over yourself. So you wake up every day and you speak what I say about your life over you. So you say what I say, what God says about my life over me. So that's what we have to do. So one of the scriptures that I love that reminds me of who God says we are is 1 Peter 2 verse 9, which says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. I think in the first scripture that I focused on, the Isaiah 6, it speaks about how when Isaiah saw the seraphims around God, they were singing, holy, holy. So there it says, we are a holy nation. It says we are just, like, we are made in, because we are made in God's image, then we are also equally holy. We can tap into that. When we choose to wear the breastplate of righteousness, then it means that we also tap into that holiness, and then we are holy people as well. So, like, it's like God empowers us, you know. It's not anything that we can do. So it's waking up every day and reminding yourself that, you know what, God looks at me and he sees what Jesus did on the cross. God looks at me and he sees a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He looks at me and he sees someone he can risk it all for, you know. Then the next one, secondly, we constantly renew our minds with the word of God. So obviously this is going to be a mental battle. It's going to be a spiritual battle. It's going to be something that goes against your flesh. So obviously your flesh is going to resist it. So every day you're going to have to constantly renew your mind and say, God, renew my mind, renew my mind, speak into my mind, because, you know, the heart and the mind, sometimes they're very detached. You know, you want to do this in your heart and your mind is just like, nah, like, we just want to listen to the flesh. You get it? So then Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the first part there that says do not conform to the patterns of this world, it speaks to our righteousness, because being upright, being in right standing with God means that you are not influenced by your environment. You're not influenced by what's happening around you. So if at school, you know, people are doing things a different way that you know is completely different to how God would want you to live your life, it means you do not conform to the patterns of this world. So you tell yourself that, okay, I am not going to conform to the patterns of this world, and I am going to do God's will. I'm going to allow God to renew my mind and do his will. You get it. And last point. So lastly, we take our positions at the right hand of the Father. This is by aligning our everyday lives with the word of God. So when Jesus put us in right standing with God, it meant that we are seated at the right hand of the Father. That's our seat. That's our rightful seat. So it's us waking up every day and saying, I'm going to take my seat here next to you, God. And it means that in every decision that I have to make, when my friends say, this is where we are going, I choose to go with God. I choose to say, okay, God, what do you say about this situation? Every single day. It's not a once-off thing. It's an every single day decision that we have to make. And then, next slide. Then, can you guys please discuss these questions? It's good, guys, thank you. Oh, yo, such good points. Like, I love what you said when I was sitting down. You said something about how it worked. It's so competitive. I don't know if you said competitive, but you said people are trying to, what? Competitive. Oh, it's war. Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend who she was in a similar position, and I didn't even make the link with what I was telling her to this, but I was telling her that, you know, in a place where you find that things are like, the don't conform, don't now start doing what they do, because then you lose out on all the things that God has for you. Like she said, when you are in right standing with God, you are in the right place for God to give you all that he has for you. So it's so easy when you're in that place to be like, but God, to feel justified, like, but God, they say this about me, or they say this, and it's like, God is like, no, 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 you stay in your righteous lane. Stay there in your righteous lane and see what I will do. I will fight for you, which is the whole point of putting on his righteousness, because then he fights for us. We don't have to fight for ourselves. Yes. So then, just to close off this point, Ezekiel 33 verse 13 says, if I tell a righteous person that they will surely live, but then they trust in their righteousness and do evil, none of the righteous things that that person has done will be remembered. They will die for the evil they have done. So it emphasizes Ezekiel 33:13. So like it clearly highlights that, you know, you can't just rely on the fact that, oh my word, I'm righteous, and then go live your life however, you know. No, for real. You can't just be like, oh my word, you know, I'm righteous. He's clearly pointing out the danger in doing that. He's saying that if I tell you that you're righteous and you will surely live, and you depend on that, and you don't actually continually walk out your righteousness, walking out your salvation, then it doesn't mean anything. Did you find it? Sorry. Okay. And then wrap up. So in wrap up, going back to our anchor scripture, I just would like to encourage you guys that you are fully aware what we are up against. That, you know, it's not like in the olden days when they were going to actual war. Now it's more spiritual. It's fighting things on social media, like what we see on social media. I was saying earlier that, you know, it's so easy right now to go on social media and see porn. You don't have to Google it. You see it on social media, just like that. What? Just watching an ad, you know, even things that are happening on TV, you know, I think there was a time when Generations, they even didn't show the reruns because people were complaining about how it's showing so much sexual things, and it's like, kids are watching Generations. Kids are up at 8 watching Generations, so I think we need to protect our righteousness, we need to protect our minds and what we expose ourselves to, because then the environments that we put ourselves in and we allow ourselves to stay in, and the company that we keep, actually corrupt our character, or it can build our character. You choose who you have around you, right? Last slide. So now for prayer. So now, how then should we respond to God making us the righteousness, to Jesus making us the righteousness of God? So the Bible clearly states that in Romans 2, verse 4, that your kindness leads us to repentance. So we all agree that it's kindness, what God did for us, right? So it should lead us to repentance. You know, just like Isaiah in that scripture that I read, how he was like, woe to me, you know, I am a man of unclean lips and I have seen the Lord Almighty. And it should lead you to a point where you're like, wow, my sins are so much, God. Like, let me repent. Let me actually turn away from my sins and turn to you and do life your way. That should be our response to God, what God did. So secondly, Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So really, that is our response to God, to offer up our lives as a living sacrifice, which basically means every day denying ourselves, denying the flesh, denying, you know, when you feel like actually responding to your colleagues and just say, you know what, actually I'm gonna turn away. You know, making that simple, it looks simple, but it's big, in the bigger scheme, it can create so much trouble, you know, so actually just denying what we would love to do for our flesh and following Christ. And that he says that, you know what, that's your true and proper worship. That's the best way you can worship me, by living, by giving up your life as a living sacrifice. Yes. So let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for all that you have done, Lord Jesus, and I pray that the hearts are ready to receive your word, to receive what you want to do, to receive this righteousness, this gift, this pure and perfect gift of righteousness, Heavenly Father. And I pray that as we go into our week, Lord Jesus, we practice this, that we live it out, that we walk it out, Heavenly Father, and that we are aware that your grace empowers us to live a righteous life, Heavenly Father. And I pray for us going to school, exams, and I pray for the minds, Heavenly Father. Pray for the hearts, Lord Jesus. I pray for every family represented here, every school represented here, Lord Jesus. And I pray that your grace may follow each and every one of us into our daily lives. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys. Oh, wait. Micah. So this week, Asha will be doing the daily devotions. Please look at them and read them and, you know, yeah. Next week, Nell will be preaching on the shoes of the gospel. Yes. So that's going to be amazing. Please come through, guys. Invite your friends. Everybody, yeah, it's a wrap, guys. Thank you for listening. But when the noise is